round on Jesus' bosom, naught but calm is found. Peace, perfect peace, with loved ones far safe, and there. Peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown. Jesus, we know, and He is on the throne. It is enough, her struggles soon shall cease, and Jesus calls us to
Since 1775, there's an estimated total of 558 million people who have lived in this country. During that time, there's an estimated 1.3 million people who have died for our freedoms and liberties, for our right to be here today. That averages out to one in for every 430 people who have ever lived in this country since 1775. It's an amazing sacrifice involving incredible determination, and at times extraordinary technologies. The estimated world population since creation, 117 billion. I don't get that number, but there you go. How many people have died for all of them? One. First John 2:2 says, Jesus is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the entire world. Now that's amazing. Sacrifice. It's amazing determination, and it's an extraordinary love. Only one statistic matters, though. You, me. It's the only one that matters. That's why we're here. Am I worth Jesus dying for? Absolutely. Not because of anything I've done or anything I own or which country I was born in, but because God, from the beginning, planned it this way. All we had to do was say, yes, please. Share in His death, burial, and resurrection, so that our past, present, and future sins will be forgiven, and so set us free from the condemnation of an eternal death sentence. And choose to live as He lived, loving God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, submitting to His sovereignty and His will. 1 Timothy 2:4 says that God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Praise God for that. And 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is patient, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." We're here because we believe that and we've accepted it. And if you haven't, I can only pray that you will. How long does this freedom last? Lasts until we die. Now that's true, enduring freedom. Let us rejoice in it as we remember what Jesus has done for each of us. Let us pray. God, our Father, most holy and wonderful, wise and powerful, we stand in front of you amazed at your love for us when we are so unworthy, and yet you have made us worthy by sending your Son to die. Thank you that he was willing to do that. Thank you that he did it so willingly because he loved you first. God, I pray that we will love you as he did. And we thank you again through him. Amen. In this time that we examine ourselves and remember what Jesus has done for us, let's really be honest with ourselves and really grateful to him. Let's pray for the wine. God, our Father, we thank you so much again for him dying for us, for suffering unbelievable pain physically, emotionally, spiritually, buried, but then resurrected again. God, it's a great and wonderful, joyful thing to know that what he suffered gave us freedom from all our sins, a freedom that we could not possibly ever have earned in any way. God, thank you for loving us that much. We look forward to serving you with all our hearts through all our lives, and one day to be with you through all eternity. In him again we pray. Amen. As God has given us everything, let us not be hesitant in being willing to give back some portion to honor him and to carry on the work that he has called us to do in this community and in this world. Let us do it willingly and with joyful hearts, and let us pray. God, our Father, we thank you for the times that we can be together, the things that you blessed us with that we can share with each other. But God, we thank you even more for the opportunity to reach out to those who are lost in this world, those who need to hear your word, to know the truth, to be free as we are free, to share in this joy as we share in this joy, to share in your glory as you have always been so glorious. God, I pray that you will help us to be determined in this and to be really willing to do whatever it takes to encourage each other, build each other up, but to encourage those who are outside of you to come in and to partake of this wonderful gift, to be a part of this wonderful gathering, and one day to be a part of your kingdom in all eternity. We thank you again for this opportunity to be together and to give and to love you and to praise you and to glorify you, to honor you. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.
In Christ alone my hope is found. He is the light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, from through the scarcest frown and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones who came to save, till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body laid, light of the world in darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious days, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
If you would stand for the song before the lesson, and that's a convenient time for us to dismiss the kids. If you have kids ages 2 to 5, 5th grade, if you want to exit back here to my left, your right, and then somebody will escort those kids to their proper place.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, bring from above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Please remain standing for the scripture reading.
Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9 reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you."
Good morning, church. A little housekeeping before we begin this morning. Tonight, we do start our small group program back once again. It's going to be meeting on the first and the third Sundays. If you are a group leader and you need your material because you're meeting in your home or you're meeting off campus somewhere, please see me when you leave and bring your sign-up sheet off the board with you so I know how many people to provide material for your group. If you're meeting here on the church campus, either at the Family Life Center or over on this side of the property, and you would like your material this morning, do likewise. But if you would rather just pick your material up tonight when you come for your meeting, I'll have your material waiting for you at the visitor center when you come in tonight. So that's hopefully those are simple instructions, but yeah, it was hard enough to get them out, so you might not understand them either. I'm glad to see you all here today. I hope that you're doing well. Our songs that we had this morning and our call to worship and some other things kind of tie us in with the subject matter for our lesson today. We are continuing in our study in the book of Philippians. And in Philippians, we have found ourselves talking about a number of things that were directed at the church there that are very important to us, pertinent to us today, for us to have a successful life in this Christian existence in this world. The Christians in the first century had the same difficulties, had the same temptations, had the same struggles that we do. It was in a different world than we exist in today, but it was the same world that we exist in today. Because the problems are all the same, the challenges are all the same. So the instruction is just as pertinent to us today as it was to them then. We began a couple of weeks ago looking at reasons to rejoice. And of course, here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, a section of scripture we are quite familiar with, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. We understand that, but what is he calling us to rejoice for? Well, the first thing we looked at was we were to rejoice because our name is written in the book of life. Then we looked last week, God's given us a cure for anxiety. Now, it's not the cure in the sense of it cures every anxiety, but it's the concept that if we are focused on thanksgiving, we will not have as much time to be anxious about things in our lives, to where we become consumed with that anxiety. We're more consumed thinking about these great blessings that we have. Well, today we're going to look at another reason, or still another reason, to rejoice. Would you pray with me, please? Thank you, Father, so much for the blessings of this day. Thank you for the love that you have shown us, especially the love you demonstrated through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name, Father, we approach your throne, asking for your grace, asking for forgiveness, and asking for your help this morning as we focus and meditate upon your word. Guide us in our thoughts, Father. Open up our hearts and minds to receive your word in the way that it was intended. And bless us, Father, that we may be a blessing not only in this congregation, in our families, but also to those in the world with whom we come in contact. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we just read a few moments ago, from verses 4 through 9, I would like for us to focus on verse 6 through verse 9. We won't revisit the rejoicing in the Lord always, but we're to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. This idea of peace is something that escapes us so far too many times. This world presses in against us and robs us of peace that God desires for us to have. When we think about the concept of biblical peace, it is not the concept of peace that the world thinks about, the absence of conflict. It's not that. It's not the absence of nations going against each other. Certainly God desires that. But that's not what is under consideration when it talks about the peace of God or the God of peace in the scriptures. We look in verses 7 and verse 9, and we see the peace of God in verse 7 and verse 9, the God of peace. Is there a difference between those things? Probably not too much. The peace of God and the God of peace go hand in glove with one another. We desire peace in our lives. And we seek it out in many different ways that are not necessarily the way that God would have us to seek peace. The things regarding peace, the Philippian Christians had seen in Paul. Paul tells Christians in different places, especially 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, where he says it specifically, to imitate me, Paul talking about himself, as I also imitate Christ. They were to look at him and follow his proper, godly, Christ-like example. And as he's talking about peace, remember me, he's saying. These things that you've seen and heard in me, those are the things that you need to be focused upon. Now, he tells them to think or to meditate or to contemplate these things. In other words, don't just have a passing thought. And in today's environment, passing thoughts are a whole lot more common than deep thoughts. Our minds are conditioned through media and other things to only think about something for just a few seconds, and then we've got to move on to something else. Well, that certainly robs us of our peace, doesn't it? Because we can't spend any time at all focused on the things that are truly important. Our mind should be occupied with and reflecting upon the things that Paul is discussing here and the things that they had seen in him. So I want to draw your attention to meditate on these things this morning for just a moment. Meditate on these things. Whatever things are true. Whatever things are true. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, the Apostle Paul tells the Christians in Ephesus to speak the truth to one another and to stop lying to one another. That he is explaining to them that we know what's true and what's not true. But there are times when we will be deceived, or an attempt to deceive us is present. It is upon us, it is our responsibility to investigate to see if things are in fact true that we spend our time focused on. And quite honestly, there are a lot of things today that a lot of Christians, and I've been guilty of it myself, upon further investigation, find out those things are not true. We've got to focus on the things that are true. Meditate on those things. Whatever is noble, things that are honorable. And this shows the importance of being honorable people, having proper manners, morals, motives in our lives. You know, our society doesn't respect good things anymore. Our society honors the salacious, the shockworthy. It doesn't honor the things that are classy, the things that are more noble. Out in Washington State, you have to be careful what you do. It's a very different environment. I once did what I was trained to do by my parents and what I thought society expected of a gentleman, and I held the door for a lady, and she didn't like that very much because I was treating her as lesser. I can get the door for myself. It used to be noble to show chivalry. It used to be something that we would praise, and we would actually chastise a man if he didn't do those things, if he didn't give up his seat for a lady. Society has lost track of those things, but we're to focus and meditate on those things. We're to be different from the world. I responded to that lady. I said, I was just trying to be polite, and I went on about my day. The world doesn't understand those things nearly as it once did. We need to focus on those things. Whatever things are just, and that word just could also be translated righteous in this context. Whatever things are just. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 15 and verse 5. Excuse me, 15 verse 3. This is a scene of worship in heaven. And talking about those who were present, verse 3 says, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. We need to focus on the things that are just and true. But in this context, the things that are just, the things that are righteous. What are righteous things? Righteous things are the things that are in concert with God's will. Those things that are in concert with God's law. Those are things that are righteous. When God calls us to righteousness, He's calling us to follow Him and the things that He has outlined for us to do and the manner in which we are to live. And so, as we're focused upon those things, we've got to ask the question, is this thing, whatever this thing is, in harmony with God's will and His law? Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure. Boy, society doesn't like holiness anymore. I don't know that it ever did, it just tolerated it maybe. The things that are pure and holy have lost their place in, even among Christians. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. First century, this is in the 60s, so this is 30 plus years after Calvary. Peter writes, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Holiness. You know, we think about holiness and we think about maybe a monk or somebody like that, you know, wearing a cloak or a tunic and they got their hands here and they're walking around, they've got their head bowed down. Okay, maybe that's holy in a certain context, but he's not writing to a bunch of monks. He's writing to husbands and wives and people who are single and people who are widowed. He's writing to children that are old enough to understand. He's writing to people that had jobs. He's writing to people that employed people. He's writing to teachers. He's writing to every person who names the name of Christ, and he's calling them to be holy. And where does holiness begin? Verse 13, gird up the loins of your mind. Holiness begins in your mind. It has to do with focusing upon the things that are true and noble and righteous. Be holy. Be like God. Now, we can't be like Him in the fullness of what that statement entails, but we can certainly look to the characteristics of God and desire those things for ourselves and for our families and for those round about us. Holiness is a characteristic that is almost completely lost in our day and time. And if we, the people of God, can't be holy, who can? Now, we need His help to be holy, of course. But He wouldn't call us to be something that we can't be. Be holy. for I am holy. Because temptation is a real and present danger to people. It's right here. It's surrounding us constantly. And in the song we sang a few moments ago, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. We need to call upon him to surround us, to hedge around us, to protect us from these temptations that are constantly bombarding us. We need to guard our minds and guard our hearts from the things that the world seeks to impress upon us, to destroy us, and to sever our relationship with God. Whatever things are lovely, those things that are pleasing, we can look at people sometimes and look at their actions, and it just breathes out that which is lovely. There's a pleasant thing. And we can see that in so many different ways. But shouldn't Christians be the pinnacle of that what we see? When we think about things that are lovely, things that are pleasing, Christians ought to be at the very forefront of that idea. It should ooze out of us naturally. But sometimes it doesn't. We've been tainted. We've been scarred. We find ourselves far too many times dealing with difficulties that cause our minds and our actions to not be what God has called for us to be. If the world can't look at Christians for the things that are truly lovely, where can it look? Whatever is of good report. I forget who said it, but there's a statement that goes something like this. A lie will travel around the world 10 times before the truth can put its boots on. You ever heard that statement? Something similar to that? It's the truth, isn't it? And when there's a problem or difficulty with someone, especially in the body of Christ, do you believe it on face value? When we're thinking about, when we're talking about, and when we're contemplating, meditating upon all of these things that Paul is discussing here, shouldn't our first thought be regarding a brother or sister in Christ when we hear a bad report? That can't possibly be true. Shouldn't that be our first thought? Not a, oh, tell me more. We love gossip, don't we? I wish we'd gossip a lot more about the good things that people are doing. Then it wouldn't be gossip, would it? We'd be given a good report. We love good reports. But we just dig our teeth into those bad reports. I don't understand it. I don't know what it is in our minds of the human being that allows us to focus more on the negative things than the positive things. But as Christians, we need to meditate on the things that are of good report. Those things that are noteworthy. It's exciting when you see and when you hear things that are of good report. Now, I didn't ask Ashley if I could say this, and I don't know if she's here or not. I'm not going to make her raise her hand up. But she posted on Facebook the day after the storm pictures that Luke was sending from inside of the fire truck as they're making wellness calls through 2 and 3 feet of water to go take care of people following the storm. That's a good report. That's a brother in Christ putting his life on the line. He's not just doing a job. That's a passion for him. And he's out there doing those things. There are so many others who are doing amazing things. I got onto the interstate early Friday morning coming down here. And I just about couldn't get on because there was a caravan of linemen in their trucks heading south. You know, we dodged a bullet, folks. That thing was supposed to come at us. And it wasn't the last minute that thing turned. It was coming here. For a week, they had it coming straight over Gainesville. And you look at what's going on just an hour south of us, that would have been us. So we need to be thankful, and we need to share those good reports of the things that are happening. We tie into those bad things. Let's focus on the good. Let's meditate on the good, especially when it regards your brothers and sisters in Christ. Look at how Paul addresses the Philippian Christians in chapter 1. In chapter 1, he says, looking at verses 3 through 7, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and the defense and confirmation for the gospel, you are partakers with me of grace. Why can't we talk about each other like that? Shouldn't that be how we banter with each other, how we talk to people outside? I'm going to step over here and I'm going to get on a soapbox real quick. Okay. We're to go into all the world and make disciples of nations of all people, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatever things I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Amen. Matthew 28, 19, and 20. We know that section of Scripture pretty well, don't we? Go into all the world. So Monday morning, we get up and we go to work. You're not going to believe what this lady at church had on. You're not going to believe how long the preacher went. Well, they might if they've been here. And we go down this line of negative things related to what we did on Sunday, and then a couple weeks later, hey, you know, we're having a friends and family day. You want to come to church? What, and be with that woman who dressed like that? Hear that preacher that went so long? I mean, do you think about what that impact that has? Okay, I'm off my soapbox. We've got to make a positive impression. When you get over into chapter 4, he commends them for the gift that they gave him. A gift of money that they sent that they did not even have. And he's giving good report on the front end and a good report on the back end of this letter. If there be anything virtuous or praiseworthy, nothing that is worthwhile for the Christian is omitted from this list. Now back to the peace of God. How can we have the peace of God in our lives? When we focus, when we meditate on the things that are true, lovely, noble, just, good report, virtuous, praiseworthy. When we focus on those things, the result of that is that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will be a part of who we are. If you want peace from God, there's your prescription. And you don't even have to go to Publix to the pharmacy to check it out. It's right here. Now, when you look at what else Paul is talking about, as we read a little further, and we'll study over the next couple of weeks, he wasn't without problems. Remember chapter 1, we just read verses 3 through 7. His chains Guess where he is when he's writing that? He's in prison. And the peace of God that passes all understanding can be a part of your life, even in prison. How much more so to those of us that are free? And he closes it out. The peace of God will be with you, or the God of peace. This peace is something that surpasses understanding. I don't fully understand it. I know you don't, and I've never known anybody who did, because we're talking about the characteristics and the blessings of God, and we can't fully comprehend those things because they're so much higher than we are. But how you can have something that you can't fully understand? Focus on those things. And this peace that comes from God will stand guard over our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ. To stand guard over, to protect us, to hedge around us, to not allow things to totally overwhelm us, because we're focused on the things that are true, noble, just, etc. We're focused on those things rather than the difficulties that are a part of this existence. If you back up into the Ephesian letter, just one book behind Philippians, the Apostle Paul writes in verses 17 through 19 of chapter 3, he is talking about praying for them. He's praying for the Christians there in Ephesus. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father, and that he would grant you," verse 16, "riches of his glory, be strengthened through his might and his spirit in the inner man." Look at verses 17 through 19 and think about with me what we've just talked about in Philippians chapter 4. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." If you flesh out that verse, you know what you're going to see? Whatever things are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, of good report, whatever things are virtuous or praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What a great reason to rejoice that we can know the peace of God that passes all knowledge. We desire this peace in our lives. We desire the absence of conflict, but as long as we're on this earth, conflict is going to be a natural part of who we are, because we're dealing with people that are different from us, even within the church. We go back in chapter 4, Euodia and Syntyche, Paul is commanding them to be of the same mind toward one another. Why? Because they weren't of the same mind toward one another. Even in the church, sometimes we get crossed up. But if we're focused on these things, the peace of God is going to guard our hearts and minds. And when we do get crossed up, those situations are going to just melt away. Because the things that are better, the things that are greater, will come to the surface and will be a part of who we are and what we do. This morning, do you have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding? If you don't have that, consider what Paul is writing here. The Holy Spirit inspired him to lay out this prescription for us today so that we can enjoy the peace of God. Maybe a disruption is such in your life that you need our prayers and our comfort, our encouragement today. We're about to sing a song, and during this song, if you need our prayers, if you need our attention this morning, we're going to invite you to come during that song. But if you've never named the name of Christ, if he's not your Lord and Savior, you can't know the peace of God that passes all understanding, because it is only available in Jesus Christ. Do you believe in him as the Son of God? Are you prepared to repent of your sins, confess his precious name, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, raised to walk in a new life, a forgiven life, a life whereby the peace of God is now available to you moving forward in your life? Do you have a need this morning? Please make it known to us as together we stand and sing.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, shall resound, and the Lord.
Please be seated.
One of those young men in our college ministry that I love him, Dre, he's a great guy. I've been getting to know him all this time, and I know that his faith is very genuine and is truly trying to imitate Jesus. In my conversation with him, he's striving to be like Jesus, but he's coming forward, and he needs the Lord to strengthen him in his faith. He walked with the Lord, and lately he says, and being rough. So we want the Lord will be with him in this time. We all experience times that our lives, we go through rough spot, and that's why we have the Holy Spirit to strengthen us. Let us pray for him. Father, glory be to your name. You understand our weaknesses. O Christ, you know the things that we go through. We are human, and Lord, sometimes we let you down. But we have these great blessings that we count with your grace, forgiveness, that when we come and we confess that we have sinned against you, you are faithful to forgive us. And the blood of Jesus is ready to cleanse every stain, every spot. God, I pray that you be with Dre at this time, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will give the strength that he needs to carry on with his cross daily, that he continue praising you because you are an awesome God. I pray, Father, that you mold this young man, that he become a great man for your kingdom, that through him many people will come to your kingdom. Use him, Lord, in a powerful way. Thank you for his life. Thank you for his humility. And I pray, Father, that you sustain in your power. And I praise these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Brother Ron Carbo also is coming forward. But he said that he is blessed, that God has enabled him to come and worship with us. It has been more than a year that he's been away, and now he's very happy, then he's joyful to be in our midst, and God enabled him to do that. And I just said, funny thought in here, I knew who he was, and I said, tell me your last name. See, that's what happened. He said, when you were being away for a while, Brother Ron Carbo, then he wants to give thanks to God because I enable him to be worshiping with us in church. Father, we're so grateful then for your blessings. Father, we know that being in your kingdom, being in this group of people that we call church, that we can find refreshing, that we can find fellowship, that we can find strength and encouragement. Thank you for Brother Ron that he reminds us, Lord, how important, how necessary, how imperative it is to be in the presence of one another, worshiping you, strengthening us one another. Thank you for his life, and I pray, Father, that you continue blessing him, Father, with health, and I pray that he will continue meeting with us and enjoying the fellowship of your saint. Thank you, Father, for your blessings. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Good morning, good morning. It is good to see everyone here this morning, especially our visitors. If you're visiting with us today, please stick around afterwards. Let us meet you and greet you, get to know more about you. And if you're looking for a church home, we hope you found it. Please be sure to check your bulletin for announcements that are not made from up here, both in the printed format when you first walk in and also in the email format. This week's shout out goes to the Horton family. Carl and Lindsay Horton have been participating in organizing the Children's Church, which goes on here during services, for several years now. It is a thankless job, but we're glad they do it to educate our children. Please thank them next time you see them. They miss out on services just about every week, and we appreciate what they do. This evening, we'll be kicking off the small group Bible study. If you have not signed up for the small group Bible study, there is a place in the foyer where you can sign up for that Bible study. The study will be on grace. Next Sunday, after worship, will be our annual homecoming potluck in the Family Life Center. Please plan to bring food to share and stay for the meal for this time of fellowship together. Now, if you're not sure what to bring to this, need recommendations, please see me afterwards. I'll be happy to provide recommendations for you. Also, I do not like pumpernickel bread. If there's no more announcements, we'll have one more song and then a closing prayer. And of course, go Gators.
Mission report first. Wait, hold on. There we go. If y'all want to go ahead and sit back down, then we'll mission report.
As you know, the first Sunday of every month, we give a report about the places that we sponsor financially. And Honduras is one of the six places that this congregation we support. And Honduras has been one of the places the longest. I think we've been there for over 20 years. And this time, they having a rough time with the virus. Some people still have concerns about coming and meeting with the church. So it's meeting in person. Okay. Well, it helps to turn it on. Thank you. Here we go. I need to have more practice on this. There we go. So this is another shot that we have the attendance on Sundays. Used to have 80 members. Now we have, like I said, some concerns about the virus. Some of them, they have a legitimate reason. In spite of that, they have children's school, Sunday schools. Another shot that they have elementary kids, ages. Sunday schools, and also they have a class for these teenagers that want to learn more about the plan of salvation. Another group of the young people, and the young man with some the glasses, that's the preacher's son, they also is involved with the youth group in there. Children, they celebrate Children's Day. They have all kinds of activities. One of those activities is for the kids. I remember when I was a kid, banging on those piñatas, it releases you or whatever you have inside. And after that, you have candies. Okay. Another thing that Brother Adrian in Honduras is doing is there are two places that they are connected with the church in Las Casitas. One of those groups is Las Posas. They have a Bible study in there. And on Sunday, like I mentioned before, the church has donated a bus that this on Sunday morning they go around these places. It's about, I would say, five miles away from the Las Casitas and go and bring these people to meet at church on Sundays. That's a small group in the same place, spouses. Then you have another sections, very poor sections, is Nueva Aldea, and they also have Bible studies on Thursday, And again, on Sunday, the bus goes around, pick up some members to be in church on Sundays. There's another shot at the Nueva Aldea Church. Very poor conditions. Then they continue meeting on Wednesday night. As you can see, a small group too. Brother Adrian is doing the best he can to bring the church together. And all things, when you are serving God and preaching God, then the happy event in here that we have one person that this obey the gospel, and everybody rejoices there. Okay, so we have a good things going on in Honduras, and we're going to continue praying that God would manifest his power, and Brother Adrian, he continue preaching the gospel there. And another note, yes, I think that Brother Mark is right. We count our blessings because we didn't have any damages from this powerful storm, hurricane. But we have seen the devastation that happened in Port Charlotte and Fort Myers. Okay, the great blessings that we have as our organization, the Churches of Christ, that we have an entity that is called Disaster Relief. Disaster Relief is associated with the Churches of Christ. The warehouses, again, you can go online and check it out. They're in Nashville, Tennessee. So the Disaster Relief, they are fully prepared. They have the logistics to deliver supplies whenever a disaster happens across the United States. They can send the truckloads with supplies. And they have connections with other corporations that they can get all the things that they need. And they have a buying power. So by us sending money to the disaster relief, then they have all these connections. And then we think that it's more effective to send the money to the disaster relief, and it's more productive instead that we can buy our staffing here and send it to a local church. What the disaster relief does is that they have a connection with a local church, whatever the area has been affected by a disaster that's happened there. And so they have all the requests, we need this and that, and disaster relief in Nashville, they have volunteers, they already have all that they need, they know this, they've been doing this for many years. And also, we mindful that about 2 weeks ago, you remember the another hurricane hit Puerto Rico. We have brothers and sisters there. We also have humans there that lives. And the hurricane Fiona hit the area. Guess what? Disaster Relief already sent supplies to them. Disaster Relief, I was informed when I contacted them on Friday, Thursday rather, that they already sent a truckload to the Fort Myers Church of Christ on Friday, and they were expecting to send more truckloads of supplies today. So since the need is urgent, the elders decided to do is to send the money to the disaster relief, and because they already sent the supplies to them. So we are operating on faith and knowing that we have a very giving, generous congregation. So we send a check for we'll send a check for $10,000. So next Sunday, then we are going to have a special collections. So you be prepared. Then, in addition to the offering that you have, that we can give toward alleviate the needs of our brothers and Fort Myers and Fort Charles and other areas that were affected by the hurricane. Okay? In the meantime, let's pray again, and that we thank God for his mighty power. Father, we thank you because we know, Lord, that your word is spreading, your word is being preaching, and your word is doing the work. We thank you for men like Brother Adrian in Honduras. I pray blessings upon his family, and I pray, Father, that you enable him to continue preaching the word in Honduras, in Las Casitas, in Las Posas, in Nueva Aldea. in any other, Lord. That I pray that the church would be strengthened, that the church would grow, that the church would be together and provide whatever they need. Thank you for allowing us to sponsor that work there, Lord. I pray that you, Holy Spirit, would be powerfully working in that area. Thank you for men like him, Father. And God, we are so grateful because you spare our lives and our material things from this hurricane. God, it's my prayer that you be with the people that lost their loved ones and families. I pray, Father, that you are the only one that knows how to minister to them at this time. You are the one that knows the reason why these things happened. You know the reason, Father, why. Help us to trust you, Lord, that in your infinite wisdom and power, that we can have the consolation that at the end everything going to be all right. Thank you for the organization of disaster relief. Thank you for the blessings that you allow us, Lord, to be participant and be a partnership with them. Bless us, Lord, our congregation here. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy, Father. And I praise all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
These time of needs, this is a good song to focus on.
My only hope is you, Jesus. My only hope is you. From early in the morning till late at night, my only hope is you. My only peace is you, Jesus. My only peace is you. From early in the morning till late at night, my only peace is you. My only joy is you, Jesus. My only joy is you. My only joy is you. All that I need is you, Jesus. All that I need is you. From early in the morning till late at night, all that I need. My only hope is you, Jesus. My only hope is you. From early in the morning till late at night, my only hope is you. From early in the morning till my only hope is you.
Would you bow with me, please? Lord, thank you for the privilege to worship this morning. We appreciate receiving another encouraging sermon from Mark's series on reasons to rejoice. Bless the ones who responded to the message. Please grant them peace and meet the needs they expressed. And Lord, thank you for sustaining us in the storms this past week. And as has been said, we ask that you bless those in Florida and elsewhere who lost their homes and those who suffered injury or the death of loved ones. Help us do whatever we can to support them on the long road back. In closing, Father, we praise you for the gift of eternal life through the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his holy name we pray, amen.